You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 40. Last week we talked about something real good. Anybody remember what I taught on last week? No, I didn't. Isaiah 40, I'm just starting today, right? I didn't teach that last week. Well, you know, in life there is opposition. There's always opposition in life, and you need to understand that. Even when we talk about God answering prayer, and we talk about God wanting to bless you and prosper you, and so on and so forth, there's struggles in life. This world is a fallen world. It's a broken world. It's not as God would have it. It's not a world that God's in control of. Often we hear that, and we often hear preachers say that. But really, the Bible is very plain that this world fell back in Adam's day. And when he fell, sin came into the world. When sin came into the world, death came into the world. And we have an enemy. It's not God. It's the devil. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. So God's will for your life is to follow his will, as it were, and to be, try to fix things. In other words, you ought to help people that are messed up. God didn't mess them up. He sent you to help them. Are you out there? I mean, let's don't pick up an abused wife syndrome here where God's making us sick and then healing us and beating us up and burning our house down, then blessing us and, you know, beating us into submission. And no, that's not what the Bible says at all. There's an enemy out there, and then there's us. Sometimes it's our fault. It's not always our fault. Sometimes we're a victim of society. I understand that you can be sucker punched and you can get in trouble when you didn't do anything wrong. That happens too. But one thing for sure, God's not your enemy and he's not your problem. He is the lover of your soul. He's your ally. He's your help and your hope. And until Jesus comes back, until this whole world's changed, there's always going to be a mess out here. There's always going to be challenges out here. There's always going to be struggles out here. And even at your best, you're going to have days where you're going to have to really dig in and roll back the clouds of depression, as it were, or whatever the case may be. You may have financial struggles, physical struggles, mental struggles, marital struggles. Struggles come and they go. I like what Brother Osteen used to say. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad. What Brother Osteen used to say, he said, when trouble comes, it just comes to pass, doesn't come to stay. A lot of things in life come to pass, but they don't come to stay. Amen? So you just hang in there and you believe God. Trust God. Call on the Lord. Plow through. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. As we were singing that song, waiting here for you, that is a biblical principle to wait on God. After we've come to him. Now, he's waiting for us to call, but after we call and after we cry out to him, then we just need to wait. We need to be patient, and we need to hang in there and don't give up. God's not a man he'd lie, nor the son of man to repent. He means what he says. Sometimes it takes a while, but he always will come through if we trust him. Amen? And Isaiah 40 talks about that. Isaiah 40:28. In fact, it starts out talking about, in the 27th verse, about how they thought God had looked over their need. Have you ever been there where you thought God just missed you, just passed you by? He's not listening to you. He doesn't care about you. Nobody knows the trouble I see, you know, singing those old songs. Well, he goes on and says this in response to that, and here's where we usually pick it up, in the 28th verse. He says, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, he hadn't passed you up. He knows where you are. Are you out there? He hadn't given up on you. He knows about your situation. He has every hair on your head counted. That's not hard to do with everybody. But as I always say, Dick, I'm not pointing anybody out. Okay? I just want you to know I wouldn't dare pick on you in front of everybody like that. They wouldn't. But it says here, that God knows everything. For one thing, he does not faint. Aren't you glad? He doesn't faint. He's got strength. Glory to God. He's not weary. You can't wear him out praying, wear him out calling on him, wearing him out depending on him. In fact, we need to be dependent on God. Amen? You know, there's three levels of maturity in life. There's total dependence. That's when you're born. You're totally dependent on your parents. And then there's independence. That's when you're a teenager. That's how I throw that out. And then there's interdependence. That's when you grow up and you realize we're all interconnected. We need each other. Amen? That nobody's completely, totally independent. But in God, there's always an independent fact. We always, you know, we always fight independence with God. We try to be our own person, make our own plans, and go our own way. But we need to learn to be dependent on God. Amen? And spiritually speaking, interdependent on each other, but dependent always on the Lord. And he's saying that God's got strength. He's got power. He doesn't grow weary. He knows what's going on. He hasn't forgotten you. Aren't you glad? And then he says he gives power to the faint. I love that. He doesn't just have power to have power. He does not have power just egotistically, you know, so we can just talk about his power. If you think God's just power, you got the wrong picture of God. You sure hadn't read the New Testament, that's for sure. Because God's more than power. God is love. Are you out there? And if you just define God in terms of power, omnipotence, you know, we often hear that sovereignty, control. Well, you've missed the point. You've actually missed the point of the whole Bible. God actually can control everything, but he chose not to. God has the ability to do anything because he's the maker and the creator of all that is. Are you kidding me? He can do anything he wants to. But what he wanted to do was share his control. And he wasn't looking for a bunch of people just to serve him and submit to him. He's looking for people to rule and reign with him. And Jesus is not the king of slaves and the Lord of servants. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And when he made Adam, he didn't say, okay, Adam, I made you. Now you got here and you just serve me and you submit to me. He said, no, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl there and all every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, all the creeps. But notice when he made man, he made him to share his authority. He didn't make man to make man. God needed somebody to submit to him. Well, yes, we do submit to God. Yes, we do serve God. But God has shared his authority with us. And one of the ways he does that is through prayer and through trusting him and through standing on his word. And you and I can go into a situation that is just terrible and get on our knees and pray and seek God. And God begins to move. And then we together, builders together with the Lord, we together agreeing with God. If any two agrees touching anything, they ask of my Father in heaven. Then God begins to move and that situation changes. Now that's sharing authority. That's not about total control. Are you with me? That's about raising us up, maturing us, and using us and giving us responsibility. Hallelujah, somebody. Are you out there? And one of the things about adversity, one of the positive things about adversity is that it gives us an opportunity, it affords us an opportunity to believe God, trust God, to use the name of Jesus, to use prayer, to use those things that he's given us, to find ourselves, see if we find our mettle, as it were, you would say about men, to find it if we're really the men we say we are, the women we say we are. Are you with me? Do we really trust God? Do we really believe him? See, those obstacles that come, those struggles that come, those trials that come, those are tests that are thrown at you. God doesn't throw them. I don't believe that. I believe the devil's intent is to kill you. I believe when sickness comes, God didn't send it to see if you'd pray. No, by his stripes we're healed. He's the Lord that healeth us. He's not the Lord that maketh thee sick. And God never healed people he made sick. And he didn't raise people from dead he killed. Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He says, a house divided itself cannot stand. He said, he's talking about Satan. He said, if Satan rises up against himself and cast himself out, he hath an end. So God's good all the time. Devil's bad. There's a problem in the world, but it's not God. You say, why didn't he fix it? Well, he's got plans to fix it, and it's going to happen just like he says, and one day there will be a new heaven, a new earth. But the starving kids in Ethiopia are not God's fault. That was the result of the sin of Adam way back in the garden, and that's a demonic influence. And I'm not talking about a devil under every bush. Don't get all crazy with me on this, but there is a devil. The Bible tells us that. There are demonic influences, and there are, you know, they're behind what's bad in the world, and then many times it's us that's behind what's bad in the world. Sometimes the cruelty in the world is man on man. It's not nothing to do with the devil or God. Hello. But God's good. And when trouble comes, you can call on him, and he'll help you. And it says here in the 29th verse, very next verse, he says, he giveth power to the faint. So you're feeling kind of faint? Well, you can come to God, hallelujah, and get some strength. God doesn't just have power. God gives power. God doesn't just have power, he shares power. God's not just in control, as it were. Actually, he's only in control as we give him control. If you don't believe that, then you just called God responsible for every bad thing ever happened in the world. If God's in control of everything, then he's responsible for everything that ever happened bad in the world. He's in control of Hitler, then he's responsible for the Holocaust. He's responsible for every child molester. He's responsible for every serial rapist. He's responsible for every serial killer. No. God's not behind that. God did not control that. Those people were in total rebellion to God, and the Scripture tells us that. He told them not to do that, told you not to do that, and they did it anyway. That's called free will. And the problem was not God. The problem was rebellion on their part, or sin, influences of Satan, and so on. When trouble comes, if you'll call on God and run to God, it says he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. You may feel weak. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I'm strong. I love that. Man, there's lots of times I felt like my knees were knocking. Well, if your knees are knocking, kneel on them. Lots of times my lips were just quivering. Just a shell of a man, you know, from what happened, maybe a crisis that took place, maybe a loss in the family or whatever the case may be. We're human. You cut us, we bleed. But I know this, that God's got strength I don't have, and God increases my strength. Are you out there? And if you learn to run to God and call on God, he'll put strength in. One translation says he puts strength into him. I like that. He puts power into him. He'll put power into you. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you know, we're not talking about your strength. We're talking about his strength. We're not talking about your power. We're talking about his power. Ooh, hallelujah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hello? I can just see somebody knocking on your head. Hello? Have you not heard? Have you not known? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, does not grow weary. There's no searching his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Woo! And then he says, even the youth shall faint. The youth shall faint and be weary. It's not human strength. It's not man's power, man's strength. No, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You don't get out of a mess just by human strength. You get out of the mess by God's strength. Hallelujah. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord. And I love we ended with that song. Y'all had no idea what I was going to minister on. That's all right. I didn't know what I was going to minister on either. But anyway, no, I did. I had an idea. But I think it's just so neat when we're singing songs, and then a song will be just right in line with what I'm going to preach on. You know, and here it was, I didn't consult with Chris or Dr. Burr or anybody, and, you know, we sang that song, here I am, I'm going to preach on this verse. This is my starting verse right here. It's on my iPads right there, see? That's what I was going to preach on. But it says, they that wait upon the Lord, I love that. Didn't say those that were just real special. Didn't say those that were just real intelligent. Didn't say those that were just real strong. Hey, thank God for intelligence. If you have it, God gave it to you. Amen. It's a gift. So don't look down on people not as smart as you are. Are you out there? Amen. If you can sing, it's a gift. Don't look down on people who can't sing. If you're good looking. No, are you with me? I mean, because we make these comparisons, you know. We're going to be like that guy in the temple that said, thank God I'm not like this publican here, you know. Yeah. Listen, if you have anything, God gave it to you. And so why do you boast in that? Boast in God. Praise God. God loves us all the same, whether we're short, tall, or smart, dumb, whatever. But notice what it says here. That hasn't got anything to do with what we're talking about here. What he's saying here is that those that wait upon the Lord, not those that are smart, those that are dumb, those that are tall, those that are short. No, just anybody who waits on the Lord. Anybody who will wait on God. Anyone, you, me, all of us, hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through, but you can wait on the Lord, amen? You can call on him. You can get on your knees. You can cry out to him. If your knees knock, kneel on him. If your lips quiver out, Jesus. It's not about whether you're shaking or not. It's not about whether you're nervous or not. It's not about whether you're articulate or not. It's not about whether you can stand on your feet or not. It doesn't matter whether you shake. It doesn't. No, all that matters is if you wait on him. Well, my knees got to quit knocking before I can pray. No, you better pray. Now, you better pray while they're knocking. Hello. Well, I'm just stuttering. I'm just so nervous. Just go ahead and just stutter. Go ahead and stutter out Jesus. Come on, call on him. He'll help you. He'll help you. Are you out there? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Ooh, hallelujah. Well, y'all just, I'll just preach myself happy. I'll amen myself here. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, preach it. Yes, hallelujah. Don't hang up now. Amen. Come on now. Come on. Woo, man, you dialing my 7 digits. Or 10 now, I guess, but anyway. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Think about it. Now, you know, when you think about an eagle, I think it's significant that he uses this example. You know, that would be called the law of lift, I guess you'd say, aeronautically. I don't know if they, you know, they'd probably have another technical term for that, but being uneducated as I am and illiterate about airplanes, I just get in them and I get to the destination. The position of that eagle's wings determines which way that eagle goes. And when the storm comes and the winds blow, it's not the wind that determines where the eagle goes. It's the position of the wings. In other words, it's not the circumstances that determine the outcome. It's the decisions made by the eagle. And in life, when circumstances come your way, be they good or be they bad, when obstacles come or winds blow or storms come, it's not those things that determine your destiny. It's the position you hold at that time. It's what you do in that situation. You know, even in tests don't pass anybody. People pass tests. Tests don't fail anybody. People fail tests. Tests don't determine who you are. They reveal who you are, but they don't determine who you are. And trials don't determine what's going to happen to you. Trials afford an opportunity. You determine what you do in the trial. Are you out there? I mean, you can take a piece of paper and hold it a certain way and blow on it, and it'll go up. Or you can turn it the other way, and it'll go down. You ever notice that? Okay, I'm just kindergarten just for a little while here. You notice on planes, they have those flaps, and they got those, you know, rudders and all that stuff. All they're doing is just catching the wind, and they change position when they want to land. They turn the flaps another way when they want to rise. I kind of think with your hands up in the air, you're going to go up, personally. If you're going through a trial and trouble, if you'll put your flaps up, instead of having your flaps down. I said flap, not flab. Don't get around here. So, okay. Brother Osteen used to always say, hang loose, travel light, and don't get flabby. But anyway, it's our position in situations that determine the outcome of those situations. Now, I understand some things we can't help. Don't walk out here and say that I just said you're responsible for everything that happens to you. You're not. You're not responsible for hardly anything that happens to you. But you are responsible for what you do in a situation. Are you? And some things take a long time to get over, and some things are quicker, and some things are devastating. I understand that. But if you'll wait on God, he'll renew your strength. If you'll position yourself, then you can come out of this mess. It'll pass. You can take a mess and make a message out of it. I like that. Because the mess of your life, the mess of your circumstances, the mess of your trials, the mess of all the opposition you've had, if you call on God and God moves on your life and gives you the victory, then all of a sudden this mess becomes a message that you can preach to others and share with others. And the difference between a mess and a message is just a little age, a little time. Amen? But you can do it. You got to keep your focus in the winds of adversity. You got to lock your wings, just like an eagle catches those air currents and positions himself, he uses them to his advantage. Now, that's interesting because now he's taking adversity and making an advantage out of adversity. You say, how's that? What are you talking about? Well, whatever the devil's throwing at you, whatever life throws at you, whatever's going on, turn it around. Just turn it around. Start praying. Start believing God, trusting God. Call on others to help you. Get over that thing and then give a testimony. You know, I talked about, I think, last week, a test and a testimony. If you pass a test, it becomes a testimony, right? And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and a word of our testimony is what the Bible says. So now, not only have we come out of this mess because we've locked our wings, hallelujah, because we waited on God, because we called on God. Don't go it alone. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. You know, that's what the inclination generally is when you get depressed. Close the doors, turn the lights out, get in the closet. Don't answer the phone. Are you with me? The very thing that you need, you cut yourself off from. Double whammy. You know, the devil doesn't want you to get help, so he doesn't want you to answer the phone. He doesn't want you to answer the door. He doesn't want you to call out for help. So a natural inclination or proclivity, as it were, propensity, bent, or sway, that you have when depression comes is that you want to get in the dark and get alone, and you don't want to talk to anybody, and you don't want to answer the phone. Because the devil loves to isolate us. He wants to isolate us because if he can cut you out of the herd, he can get you. It's the same way predators attack lions or tigers or coyotes or whatever. You know, I'd have to say coyotes in this part of the country. We don't have a lot of lions and tigers. They want to cut out the weak and isolate someone from the herd, get you away from the herd because there's strength in numbers. Are you with me? And boy, if he can keep you from calling on God, he's really got you. Because that's where your real strength comes from and your real victory comes from. The outcome is determined not by what's happening to you. The outcome is determined by what you do in the midst of what's happening to you. Pure and simple. Turn to James 3rd chapter. You know, I think about wind. Wind can be good or bad. I mean, if you're a turbine, those big turbines, you know, windmills they have all over the United States, they got them different places. Wind is a wonderful thing there. They just took the wind and harnessed the power. Woo! I like that. You know, in fact, I wrote this out one time I was teaching on this. If you want a map concerning trials and tribulation, a map concerning overcoming, then here's an acronym for you, M-A-P, MAP. Turn your misery into ministry. Overcome it and then go minister to somebody else going through the same thing. Amen? Adversity, M-A, turn your adversity into an advantage. You know, if you'll trust God, Romans 8:28, what does it say? Everybody ought to know that one. All things work together for good, them love the Lord, called according to his purpose. See, if you'll cry out to... Now, all things don't work together for good, period, for everybody. That's not what it says. It says all things work together for good, them that love the Lord, that are called according to his purpose. In other words, if you love God, you're going to call on God. Now, if you don't call on God, nothing's going to work for your advantage or your good. In fact, what the devil meant for bad will turn out bad. But what the devil means for bad will turn out good if you call on God. Joseph's brothers threw him down a well, sold him to the Midianites, told his daddy he died. You remember that? And what happened? Well, he wound up delivering all of Israel in the years of famine, years later. And he told his brothers when he revealed himself to his brothers and they came into Egypt, come in there to get food. This was years later. He was 17 when they threw him in a well. He was 32 when they came back to see him in the second year of the famine. He was 39. 39 when they came to see him in the second year of the famine. 7 years of good, 2 years of bad, that's 9 years. He was 30 when he was promoted, that's 39. Do the math, okay? I think even an Elmo would adds up to that, doesn't it? Okay. So he's 39, and they come back, and he reveals himself to him, and he says, what you meant for bad, God meant for good, to save you. In other words, God didn't ordain that, but he said, well, I'm going to use that, because Joseph never gave up on God, and he kept believing God and trusting God, even through prison. Are you with me? Through servitude and through prison, he never gave up on God, and God turned it all around. And if you don't give up, God will turn it all around too. Wednesday night, I taught on God's the God of the turnaround. He is. He'll turn it around. But you're going to have to lock your wings, amen, when the wind blows. You're going to have to get your flaps up. Start flapping. I don't know why that just sounds so funny. That is flap, flap. James 3. Hey, this is good, and I'll wrap this up. Did you get anything out of this? Does help you? Amen. Okay. We're just talking about adversity. Do I say? Huh? M-A-P. Oh, M-A-P. What's P? Oh, you want to know what the third one is? Awful picky, aren't you? It stands for picky. No, P, I forgot, I'm sorry. See, this is why I have a wife and kids. Keep me straight. M-A-P, misery, turn your misery into ministry. Adversity, turn your adversity into advantage. P, turn your pain into power. Oh, I love that one. Because really, when you think about it, that's what happens. You know the old saying, no pain, no gain? You know, you go to the gym. It hurts to work out. It does. I wish there was some other way. I wish there was a pill you could just take and make them pop out there. But actually, there are some pills you can take, but you pay for that down the road. You lose all your trophies and everything. But anyway, if you want to turn your pain into power, then you're going to have to use it to your advantage. You know, when you go to a gym, you push against weights. You ever notice that? In fact, that's the whole point, is to resist, to push. Not to give up, not to give in, but to push against the pain. And then what happens, you keep doing that, you develop muscles. Muscles don't develop without resistance. So all these trials that keep coming and all these adversity keeps coming our way, the devil keeps throwing at us, trying to knock us off of our faith, trying to knock us off our marriage, knock us out of our business, knock us out of our health, whatever the case may be. If we push back, we'll not only beat him in his own game, but we'll begin to get stronger also, and we'll turn our pain into power. So you want to turn your misery into ministry, your adversity into advantage, and your pain into power. Amen? Last thing you want to do is just lay there. Isn't that right? I mean, when a trial comes, don't just lay there. Don't just float down the river like a dead log. Swim upstream like a live fish. Anybody can float down a river like a dead log. It takes a live fish to swim upstream. Amen? Can you imagine, and I've said this before, can you imagine going to a gym, working out, having two guys, big guys, you know, get this big bar, you lay flat on the weight bench there, you're going to do some bench press, and you're laying flat on that bench, and two guys, one on each end of this big bar, you know, with all this weight, pick it up and put it on your chest. And you're laying there with it on your chest, looking at your watch. About 30 minutes. Hey, need a spot. Two guys come, they take the weight off the chest, hang it up, and you go home. And you do that 5 days a week for a month. You lay down, they put the weight on your chest, you lay there for 30 minutes, you watch your watch. You holler at them, they take it off your chest. Now you can tell everybody, I went to the gym. I've been going down that gym 5 days a week. I've been working out. I mean, they put that weight on my chest, right there on my chest. It took two guys to pick it up to even put it on there. I got nothing but a dent in my chest is all I got. Why is that? Because you never pushed against it. You never resisted. Are you out there? You got to learn to push against it. See, and maybe you need some help. Maybe you need someone to help you push. That's fine. That's okay. Get somebody to help you. Get somebody to pray with you. Get somebody to hold your hand if the case. But let's push through. Let's push through the trials of life. Woo. James 3. Wow, real quick. My brethren, first verse. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we will receive the greater condemnation, the greater judgment. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Everybody say bridle. Of course, he's talking about a bridle on a horse, how you direct the horse and so on and so forth. And he says, behold, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Just by, you know, pulling this way, pulling that way. In fact, you can train a horse to just almost with your knees. You know, you can just kind of nudge them this way, nudge them that way. They get so in tune with you, riding them and guiding them, they'll just turn one way or the other just by kneeing it one way or the other. I've seen guys, I've got them do all kinds of things by kneeing them. But anyway, just knee them and, okay, anyway. I'm just trying to get y'all to wake up. I'm trying to bring this thing to a close. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth, or the pilot, captain of the ship, listeth. Even so the tongues of a little member boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now what he's saying here is that the destiny of a ship is determined not by the wind, but by the rudder. And the direction of the horse is determined by the bridle. So the wind's not... In fact, you know, people that sail boats, they can actually go into the wind. They have a name for that. Tack? Is that? Yeah. Tack it. They tack it. Okay. They tack it. That's what they do. Ron said so. But they can go forward in the wind if they set that rudder and that sail and everything. But see, if there's no wind blowing, you don't go anywhere. Isn't that true? So a positive side of adversity is that the devil, yeah, he's trying to hurt you, no question about it. But really, we're developing in the midst of the storm. God's not sending the storm, he's sending the help. And he's trying to get us to set our rudder. And the position of your rudder determines where you go, not the storm blowing. The position of your wings determine whether you rise or fall, not the wind blowing. Y'all out there, set yourselves. That's what God's saying. Set your rudder, set your sails, chart your course. Let's head forward. Let's experience our dreams and our destiny. Amen? And let the wind blow. We've heard the wind blow before. In this case, example is our tongue. What are we saying in the midst of the trial? What are we saying when the problem comes? Are we calling on God? Are we believing God? Are we saying what God says? Or are we just saying what the world is saying or what the pain says? Or the adversity says, or the misery says. No, let's turn this thing around. Amen? You can do it. What? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't faint. He gives power to the faint. Yes. Hallelujah. And that's us. Amen? Amen.